This morning I'll be preaching out of Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, talking about the brevity of life. One of the roles in growing in Christ, growing in godliness. Before we jump off into the text, I'm holding next week, we're going to start 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is the fasting guide. They're in the foyer and on the table in the big foyer. If you have an outline, on the back of the outline's a QR code. And if you do the camera with the QR code, you can have a download onto your phone where you can read through this. Now, what the fast is, it's not fasting from something. You know, yes, I want to fast from surgery. You know, it seems like that's, okay, I really thought you'd laugh at that one. You know, fasting is where we give up something. But more than just giving up something, you're going to replace it spending time with the Lord. And I know you got spring break coming. You're going, David, horrible time. No, life is so short. We want to optimize every moment we can in growing to be closer with the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that's what this is about, is what can we give up to spend more time with the Lord. But this is the guide. We'll have more next week. It starts next Sunday for 21 days leading up to Easter. Now you're saying, well, David, what's the big deal about the fasting prayer guide and brevity of life? There's a new TikTok challenge. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. And then it's new, and I will stand some, okay? I feel like I preach better standing. And since I'm on the floor, I may walk up and down the aisles to make sure you're awake, okay? And the new TikTok challenge, sadly and sickly, I have to say, it's where parents are getting their little ones, their preschoolers and children, they're putting a phone in a bathroom, and they're telling their kids, it's okay to say any cuss words that you've learned into the phone. And then the parents walk off, and then the kids start saying every explicit that they've learned. Who did they learn it from? Mainly from the parents, okay? And then the parents are posting that. That's a TikTok challenge. Isn't that sick? And people think it's funny. And what I'm here to say, guys, is that life on this planet is short. And what we have to keep in mind is the end game, and that is eternity with Jesus Christ. We would act differently if we understood the shortness of life and understood that one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account of every word we've said, every action that we've done. Amen? Amen. If we knew that we're going to be held accountable for our thoughts, our speech, and our action, we would act differently. And Jesus is saying, don't act differently in the future. I want you to act differently now because I've come into your life and I've changed you. And so when we look up on the screen at Isaiah 40, verse 6, I'm sorry, that was what I read earlier, Psalm 90, verse 12. From the New Living Testament, it says this, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Just want you to think about this verse. You're asking God, teach us, teach me, Lord, how short my life is so that I may grow in wisdom. Teach me, Lord, how short life is so that I can be more like Jesus in the limited number of days that I have. Amen? Man, that's a mouthful. And there's a mouthful that we're going to be looking at this morning. In fact, the NIV puts it this way, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In this room, we have some of the wisest people that I've ever known. They're in their 90s. You have a little bit less wiser people. They're in their 80s and then 70s, okay? And then in our church, we have under a year old, I mean, you know, basically newborns. So we got the whole age gamut in here. We don't know when our final breath is going to be. We do know this, the moment you're born, you now have a limited number of heartbeats, a limited number of breaths before you're now standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so we need to realize how short, and the question for us then is how are we going to live our life? Job chapter 14 says this, you have decided the length of our lives. Some will live in this room, will live to be in your 90s. Hope to the century mark. Some of us won't live that long. You know, as you read the newspaper, the obituaries, you got 30, 40 people dying of cancers, wrecks, drug overdoses, so forth. You know how many months we will live, and we're not given a minute longer. And so God's calling you to be a steward of your time. Did you hear me? You're going to be held accountable for your time. The Psalm 144, Lord, we are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them. They're like breath, their days are like a fleeting shadow. So even in this shortness of time that we have, God cares about us and wants us to walk with him. Today isn't about just feeling good. Today is about getting our lives and our act together that pleases Jesus Christ, walking with him. And so the question as we think about Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days. Teach us the brevity of life. How does God teach us? There's four things I want to say real quick in this introductory. Have any of you don't need to raise your hands, but when you woke up this morning, did you praise God for waking you up? God teaches us as we experience his daily mercies. We woke up this morning because of his mercy. Last night, he could have taken us in our sleep. He could have taken us yesterday. But this morning, we were awakened so that we can serve the Lord, to enjoy his mercies. We have another day. Lamentation says this, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. We didn't die last night. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God woke us up so that we could remember and experience his mercy so that we would praise him. But instead, there are some foolish people that want to teach their kids how to cuss on TikTok. Or that we have to reflect the world. Do you hear me? Are you with me this morning? And I'm not taking any pain medicine, so I'm trying to look and see how you're doing. The second thing I want to say. God woke you up this morning, and we experience how short life is by enjoying his creation. You all got here by some method of transportation. And as you were driving along, you noticed the scenery, the animals, the creation God created. You have to stop and realize God created this universe. There is a God. Are we going to walk with him or are we going to ignore him? Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Ignorance isn't going to cut it when we stand before the Lord. Ignorance isn't going to cut it when you stand before the Lord and say, oh, I got too busy doing this, watching this. God's going to go, no, you're not. You intentionally neglected me. What are you going to do about it? So this morning, God woke you up to experience his mercies. He woke you up to realize his creation. But he also woke you up this morning to encounter his people. Now, this is big. When we encounter God's people, what happens? It rubs off on us, and we start growing. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now hear me. It's important for you and I to reflect Jesus Christ, to teach the Bible to our friends, our family members, not to teach our children how to cuss to be put on TikTok, but to teach them to walk in righteousness so that the Heavenly Father gets the glory. Amen? And we tend to forget that where we go, oh, I can do this next week. I have time. I'm going to tell you a story about I have time in just a moment. But the third thing that God does to us every day, we experience his people, his creation, and his mercy. That should wake us up how short life is and how important it is for us to be right with him. And the last thing that we experience every day is his hope. And he wants us to express his hope. I want you to think about the next time you go to a funeral. And I say this with love in my heart as a pastor. I wished everybody in this room would have to do two funerals. A funeral of a person saved, going to heaven or in heaven that you know that's in heaven, and a funeral of a person that has rejected Jesus and you know they're not in heaven. Buddy, that'll wake you up real quick. And Paul says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died so that you'll not grieve like people who have no hope. God woke me up, and as I see death, as I see people surrendering, getting life from Jesus Christ, I have hope because God is still in control of this fallen world. He's guiding. He is the sovereign God. And we need to wake up this morning and realize that God, in His mercy, woke us up so that we can encounter His creation to worship Him, to encounter His people so that we can grow, but also now as we see what God's doing, to express hope because Jesus Christ lives in us. Are you with me? You follow four simple things God does every day that we need to be grateful for. But sadly, there's two reasons we miss God. And in fact, I want you to look over Luke 12. In just a moment, we'll take you to Luke 12, but you might be wanting to find that in your scripture. If not, we'll put it up on the screen. We have it in the outline. But there's two reasons we miss God. Number one, self-centeredness. It has to be done my way. And when we talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's never your way, it's His way or sin. The second reason we miss God is fear. I am so afraid that if I give this up, who's going to take care of me? How will this be provided for? We have fear in surrendering to God. We just can't let go because we have to be in control. Are you with me? Now let's look at a passage of a farmer who was blessed, but he was so self-centered and he ignored God, he refused to share what God was doing in his life. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 16. Jesus is teaching a parable. And all of Luke chapter 12, by the way, the subject matter is about fear. If you have anxiety, if you're afraid, just go back and read Luke chapter 12. Okay, but he teaches a parable, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So this is a farmer who is just making money, you know, just hand over fist, just every time he turns around, the money's there. And he says this, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Over in verse 18, then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods." You see how self-centered he is? He's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about being a steward that God's called him to be, to share in the resources God's given him. Let me chase this rabbit for a moment. Everything you have came from God. And everything you have when you die is going to belong to somebody else and the government. Okay? And what God wants us to do, He gives us stuff to live on, but He gives it to share and to bless others. And this rich farmer, this rich businessman was so self-centered, and he's focused on himself, and he has fear of letting go. He goes, "I have to hoard all of this. I got to stockpile it." Verse 19, "And I say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. I have time." What are we talking about? Brevity of life. Some of you might be saying, "Oh, I have time to trust Jesus. I can do that tomorrow or next year. I have time to be committed to my marriage. I have time to get off of these drugs or to stop looking at porn. I have time." No, you don't. There's no guarantee. And he says, "So you have many good years laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Boy, doesn't this sound like America? Big, fat, and lazy. Comfortable. Not caring about people dying and going to hell. Not caring about our own testimony. We just want to be comfortable with a remote in our hand. I feel a sermon coming. Verse 20. Now, when you say that you're in control of your life, but God, you need to go and read the Bible and start highlighting the number of times where the Bible says, but God. There's once over in Ephesians where it says, but God, where he intervened to save your sorry life, my sorry life. But here, when you get cocky and you think that you're in control and that you don't have to share, you don't have to do anything because it's all about you. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you've prepared? Somebody else. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This morning, I want you to look at how short your life is and what God is calling you to do about it. And that's to get right. That's what this prayer and fasting is about. Getting right with the Lord. And come Easter, man, it's a celebration of what God's doing, what he's going to be doing. Celebration of people changing lives. Amen. Are you with me? So we're in the middle of the sermon. Five questions to ask. That means I have some other questions after the five questions. Okay, y'all bear with me. Let me take you to the Old Testament, one of the most powerful passages, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is kind of the heart of the Old Testament. Let me read to you this. There's five things here, which will be five questions that's going to hit you hard about your life this morning. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to first to fear, that is to respect God, to realize you don't mess around with God. You don't tell God, oh, I'll do it later or I'll put it off. For God, he demands obedience now, okay? Fear means you bow to God. To fear the Lord your God. Secondly, when you respect God, you begin walking with him. You're holding his hand. You're walking with him. To walk in what? In obedience. That means you're saying, yes, God, you're right. I'm not. And by the way, this is Hebrew poetry. A, B, C, B, A. The C is the pinnacle to love God. To love him. You see that? You know, before you fell in love with your spouse, you spent time with them. I hope you did. I'm not aware of any arranged marriages. All right. But you're walking with your Lord, you're going, man, I'm in love. And then when you're in love, you start serving. To serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Amen? And then you make that commitment, you have marriage, you take a vow. And where it says here in English to observe, the Hebrew word is to guard, to protect. To protect your marriage, to protect, to guard that covenant. Notice this, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees I'm giving you today for your own good. And here's five things right here. If you implement these, you know, you're going to respect God, you're going to walk with him, you're going to love him, you're going to serve him, you're going to observe, man, things are going to go well for you. And so from this passage, I want to give you five questions. And the first question is, who will be the center of my life? In the shortness of life that you have, are you going to live a life of self-centeredness? Or is it going to be a life in which God is centered? It's an easy choice. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God. You realize life is short. And when your life ends, you're standing before the Lord having to give an account of yourself. Amen? And so it starts here. Am I going to live a God-centered life or self-centered life? The second question this morning, what will be the character of my life? Is it a life, my character being comfortable like the rich farmer? Take it easy, be merry, drink, party, have a good time. Or will it be Christ-like? And when people look at you, what do they see? Verse 12 again. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? To walk in obedience to him. Now, let me come down here for a moment. If any of you are playing Monopoly while I preach, okay? Hear me, guys. Hear me. When we say that we are a follower of Christ, it means we're obedient to him. Do not tell me you're a follower of Christ and your lifestyle does not reflect Christ. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not you messed up yesterday or this week and you come to church. People will say you're a hypocrite. No, God's saying you're trying to get right. I will honor that. I don't care what the world says. What's important is what does God say? And God's saying it's enough that we no longer say, oh, I'm a Christian, but we don't act like it. But we start walking and living in obedience. Do you hear me? And so we walk in obedience to him. If you read Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission, you know, it says, go into the world, you know, and baptizing all nations in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then it says this, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And we're not teaching for knowledge, head knowledge. We're teaching for a surrendered life of obedience to God for his glory. So the second question, what will be the character of my life? Will I be known as a comfortable person or will I be known as being Christ-like? The third question, what will be the contribution of my life? Am I a consumer or a contributor? What are you today? Are you a consumer or a contributor? Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? To love him. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. When you love people, you give. That's why you get cool gifts for your birthdays, for anniversaries. People love you. At least some of us, okay? You get gifts. God has given you a gift, his resources, and he wants you to share that by giving to others. And so are you like this farmer who just took everything for himself, self-centered, or are you going to take the stuff that God's given to you and pass it on? The fourth question this morning, still in verse 12. What will be the communication of my life? What do I mean by that? Am I promoting myself or am I sharing Christ? Some of us got some very big egos and it's about us. No, it's not. It's about Jesus Christ. And God loves to humble us. Amen? Little thing. Don't you hate it when a kid really zapped you with something? You know, or God help you if your wife really zaps you with a quick quote. That happens to me all the time. God gave us wives to humble us. Amen? They're helpmates. You know, we couldn't take care of it, so God brought one. Read Genesis. Go back. That's why God created a woman, to be a helpmate and to keep us guys in line. Amen? Boy, that's pretty weak. I guess we're going to have to talk about that. Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? To serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. What does serving mean? I'm going to tell people what Jesus has done in my life. I'm going to help people. It's not about me. It's about what Christ has done. Now we'll dig a little deeper into this point in just a moment. The fifth question, do you remember expressing hope, death? What is going to be the legacy of your life? Is my life influenced by the world, or will people see my life surrendered to Christ? What do you think God wants you to do? I hate to say this over in 1 John chapter 2. Bible says whoever loves the world is not of God. The world and its ways are going to pass away, but whoever does the will of the Father lives forever. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Go back and read that. You make a cross reference. But notice verse 13 here. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? And to observe the Lord's commands, to guard. And he's given us two commands. Actually, there's three. First one is what we call the great commandment, to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is what we call the great commission, to go in and make disciples. But there's also a third one. And that third one is called what I would say the great cooperation, in which we work with other believers in Christ to advance the kingdom. That's found over in the Gospel of John. But the issue for us, though, as we observe or guard God's commandments and walk with Him, are we living a life surrendered to Christ? Man, that's the hardest problem. If we would just live a life surrendered to Christ, we would have to do five services. Have any of you stopped and scratched your heads to think for a moment, if we added up the seating capacity of all the churches here in Walker County, it would be about a tenth of the population of this county? Doesn't that break your heart that there's something wrong, that we're not anticipating a holy God through His Spirit living and changing in us, that He's going to change people? We might as well just call ourselves a social club. I believe Jesus died to change me, to change you, and to change other people. And it happens for us waking up and realizing what He's done. And so, how do we grow toward having a heart of wisdom? The first part of what I've been talking about is numbering our days, or understanding the brevity of life. Now what we are going to do, once we understand those things or understood them, we now grow in wisdom. There's three things, and this is where I'm going to close. I may take 20 minutes, but these are the last three things. How do we grow in wisdom? Guys, the first one, it starts with the desire to walk with God. You have to want to walk with God. Now, that desire only happens by the Holy Spirit living and growing in you. Notice what Paul says. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and not, cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. Some of you, you're looking at this prayer guide, and you're going, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. I question your desire to want to grow in Christ as a pastor. Now, say it in love. But there's something wrong when we don't want to read God's Word. Guys, don't you think there's something wrong? I'm preaching from my heart now, that I have to ask you to read one chapter a day from God's Word 5 days a week just to get you to read the Bible. And there's something wrong with that, my friend. If not, then fire me. But I say there's something wrong. We should have a desire to be wanting to read God's Word more than watching Oprah or looking at Facebook or trying to create stuff for TikTok or doing silly things. Why? Because our life is short. And God didn't create us to do these silly things. He created us to worship Him and to honor Him because He is a jealous God. And He's not going to share His glory with anyone or anything else. And that means He created you to worship Him, and He died for you so that you could worship Him, and He doesn't want you to be pushing His stuff away. It's called quenching the Holy Spirit. And God is telling us that if you don't have a desire to walk with Him or to spend time with Him, you need to look at your salvation, my friend. Because if we're going to grow in wisdom, it starts with having a desire. Amen? And that desire comes from the Holy Spirit. Let me submit to you Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, a very, very important passage. When you were dead in your sins, you know what that means? Your spirit is dead. No hope, no future. Jamie, could you pull up Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? But notice this, as Jamie's pulling that up. Okay, thank you. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sin. You're spiritually dead. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of air, that's the devil. By the way, when Jesus returns, how's he returning? In the air to show that he's Lord of all. We need to remember this. You don't mess around with Jesus. He's Savior, but now he's coming back as King and Judge, and he's going to set everything right, and he expects you to get your life together, to get your act together. And so he's coming back. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, verse 3, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So we're at war with God because we're dead spiritually. Now, verse 4, I love this. But, King James, but God. But because of his great love for us, God who's rich in mercy, now he talks about saving us. Now, as we go back to Colossians 2, this is the point I'm trying to make. Before Christ, you were dead spiritually. You had no desire to read the Bible. You had no desire to walk with God. But now that Christ has made you alive, God made you alive with Christ, he's given you a new spirit. What is that? 2 Corinthians 5:17? The old is gone, the new has become. You're a new creation in Christ. He's given you a new spirit where you should be desiring the things of God. And if you're not desiring the things of God, guys, you need to go back and look at your walk. I'm a fruit inspector. I can tell you if your fruit stinks or not, but I can't judge. The only person that can tell you if you're saved or not is the Lord Jesus Christ himself through his Holy Spirit. But I do know this. When you're walking with right thing, with the Lord, things happen. It's called producing fruit. But notice this. He forgave us our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He has taken away, nailing it to the cross. That's the Mosaic law. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, make sure I don't fall over. Okay. On that triumphing, you know, over in Corinthians, it says that we are in the possession of the conquering train of Jesus Christ. And it means we've surrendered, we've been conquered, and we're now for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But it also can refer to that we're warriors for Jesus Christ. As I've said, earth is not a playground, it's a battleground. And God is saying, wake up. But if we're going to grow in wisdom, the first thing that has to happen is that you have to have a desire that you want to grow. And that desire only comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as his Spirit lives in you. If you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, none of what I'm saying is making sense. Now, when you trust Christ, it starts making sense. And if you never trusted Christ, guys, there's a hell that's waiting for you. And in that hell, it's not the fire and brimstone that terrifies me. It is the absence of the presence of God. Everybody in this room, myself included, we all should be sent to hell. But God in his grace gives us heaven. And because he gives us heaven, how much more should we rejoice and want to serve the living God? The second thing, if we're going to grow in Christ, we grow by spending time with the Lord. I know I sound like a broken record. Reading the Bible, reading Scripture. Living Bible, I love this. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 NIV, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what the Bible is simply saying is this, you want to grow in wisdom, you read God's word. It points to truth, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only truth. And he teaches us how to live and how we respond in every situation. Amen? And so we spend time with the Lord. We spend time with the Lord in prayer, communicating with Him. The third thing I want to say, how do we grow in wisdom? It becomes easier as we experience the Lord in our daily lives. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Some of you years ago, back in the 90s, there was a book that came out. It's called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. I would encourage you to go through it. It talks about how to experience God. In a nutshell, it's this. As you walk with God, the more you walk with God, you start seeing God move here and there. You're able to see God move. And that's the experiencing of God. It's not just coming to church on Sunday, but it's now going out to work and you're going, oh, I'm the presence of Jesus there. I need to pray for my coworker. I might need to help my coworker with some food, or they're going through a divorce, or whatever. You do ministry. But experiencing God is where you see God moving and you become the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen? But hear me. You won't get to this third stage where as you read the Bible and you're growing in Christ in your ministry, that will never happen until you first surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then His Spirit comes into you and it changes you. And this morning, Jamie, if you'll pull up Psalm 90, verse 12, the very beginning slide, the New Living Translation would be fine. Teach us to realize the brevity of life. You know, I don't know where I'm at in that life scale. I know I can see the other side. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a downhill slope and I'm just rolling, okay? But I do know this. It doesn't matter if I live another 50 years or 5 days. I can sit here and tell you, man, Jesus is Lord of my life. In the moment I die, I'm taken care of. You don't need to worry about me because there's going to be a party in heaven. And I hope I get to see you. Some of you I know I will see you because it's clear of your walk with Jesus. But when we look at this brevity of life, what is keeping you from rededicating yourself to Jesus this morning? What is keeping you from trusting Him as Lord and Savior? Could you ask that question to yourself as I lead us in prayer? The praise team is going to come up to lead us in our offertory. Pastor Tommy Lyles is going to come and stand up here to receive. Well, I saw Tommy. Scotty may come up here. Scotty, if you would come up here where I can sit down. Scotty McKinley. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you again for today. Help us to surrender to you. Help us to give our lives to you as Lord and Savior. Father, help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we join praise team in singing Forever Yahweh.